This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Welcome, you're listening to Budget 2020 on Money Control. I'm Sakshi Batra and with me is Gaurav Chaudhary, Deputy Executive Editor of Money Control. And we are going to be discussing about the macroeconomic picture. Thanks a lot, Gaurav, for joining in. Well, India's economy grew at its slowest pace in more than 6 years in the July to September period and down at 4.5%. The advanced estimates for FY20 have also pegged the GDP growth at just 5%. How do you assess the current macroeconomic scenario?
To say that the Indian economy is in the pink of health would be something to miss the obvious. We are clearly in the middle of a serious deceleration, and that can be seen from almost all proxy indicators, and which is also showing up in all macroeconomic numbers that the government and official statisticians have so far put out. And how do you spot a slowdown in the economy? The nearest indications obviously are in the nearest mall or the car showrooms, and car showrooms are an example that with people buying fewer cars means people's income are flat or their expectations of income are quite low, future income are quite low. So and that is showing up. If people buy fewer cars and the resultant slowdown in demand is affecting companies' investment plans and eventually affecting hiring activity as well. There's heightened expectation that the government is going to use the budget as an occasion to reset the economy, announce some grand reformist plans, as well also its intent to demonstrate its intent to walk the talk on turning around the economy, which until recently was toasted as a global economic growth titan.
Absolutely. Now, Gaurav, even the IMF has expressed concern about India's economic downturn. They've also called for urgent steps to return the country back to high growth path. Mm. So what could the government be looking at in the upcoming budget to address these slowdown concerns?
There are two things that the government will have to do. First, there are certain sectors that need immediate attention. One of these sectors is the physical infrastructure sector, that is like roads and highways, because this is one sector that has an immediate multiplier effect on so far as creating jobs are concerned, particularly outside of the urban centers. So the more the highways that we build, or more the rapidity at which highways are built, is also going to translate into more jobs being created. And this has a direct attendant benefit for intermediate industries like cement and steel, which then has, you know, secondary round multiplier effects, and that spreads across the broader economy. That is one. The second is on real estate. The real estate sector has been in the dumps for quite some time now, and its ability to absorb labor or create employment for a low-skilled or semi-skilled labor is an well-established fact. Yeah. That is something that the government will have to now look at to revive activity in construction activity in the real estate sector. At least there has to be some degree, policy intervention, to ensure that more demand picks up or people end up buying more houses, or there is some degree of some return of transaction activity in this sector. These are the two big sectors. But what the government will also have to do is to ensure that there is more liquidity available. Unlike the US economy or even the Chinese economy, the Indian economy is largely credit driven. So investment is credit driven. At this point, there is a squeeze in credit. In the sense, there is tightening of bank credit to industry. And if that continues to persist, investment is unlikely to pick up at the pace that the government would expect it to aid a turnaround. So revival of activity in the construction, that is physical infrastructure construction as well as real estate, and some degree of easing of liquidity crisis for the industry as a whole, particularly in this kind of sectors where there is more multiplier effects on creating additional employment, needs to be looked at very seriously.
Absolutely. Now, apart from the government, the RBI as well has this year cut the lending rates at least 5 times to a 9-year low now to support growth. But not much has really changed. And now with the latest figures that we have of CPI inflation shooting above the RBI's comfort level, will it be possible at all for the RBI to cut rates in the upcoming policy, which is just a few days after the budget?
There are two things that RBI look at. One, obviously, is the headline retail inflation, which is the consumer price index-based inflation, which the RBI uses or keeps a track on for its interest rate-related decisions. And given the fact that CPI inflation has shot up, it galloped past 7%, that's well above the RBI's upward threshold limit of 6%. It doesn't look that the RBI is going to oblige with another round of rate cuts. But what is more important, because since this is the next RBI policy is going to be the one immediate immediately after the government presents its budget, the RBI is also going to take a very keen look on what the government has to say about its fiscal consolidation plan. If the government actually exceeds its fiscal deficit target, which looks like as of now for this year, and sets a higher fiscal deficit target, you know, which ends up borrowing more for next year as a percentage of GDP compared to this year, then that is something that the RBI would not be very comfortable with, because the higher government borrowing actually crowds out money available for private corporates to borrow and individuals to borrow. So that pushes up interest rates. That is something that the RBI would not like to happen, because that could go against the objectives of achieving faster growth.
Right.
So in my view, I think we are already done with the round of rate cuts.
Okay.
It would be a bonus if actually RBI does not go ahead and raise interest rates. So the two things that are going to guide RBI, the Monetary Policy Committee's decisions in the immediate policy after the budget, is one, the headline retail inflation rate, which we know is extremely high and beyond the tolerable limits, but also what the government has to say about its borrowing plans next year, and what is the fiscal deficit set at as a percentage of GDP for 2021. If it's set at a higher range, which is not comfortable with RBI, then it's going to be very interesting to see what the commentary from the MPC is on the government's fiscal plan.
Absolutely. And lastly, Gaurav, I want to understand, do you see the slowdown as a structural slowdown, or is this cyclical in nature? And how soon can we really expect a recovery on the back of all these steps that you just suggested?
Yeah, so this looks like, in my view, this looks like more like a structural slowdown rather than a cyclical one. And structural slowdowns, solutions to a structural slowdown will require more structural and deepening of structural reforms. In 1991, when the Eden government brought about a series of reforms, it was mostly in the products market.
Yeah.
Now, the government will have to seriously look at reforming the factor markets, which is essentially labor and capital. And we know for a fact that the government has moved a bill in the parliament for reforming labor laws that is now pending with the Standing Committee of Parliament. But more than that, turnaround in the economy, which is caught in a slowdown caused by structural reasons, will require structural reforms in the factor markets, primarily labor and capital.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot then, Gaurav, for sharing all these key insights with us. And with that, it's a wrap here on this edition of podcast. Many thanks for listening to us.